The world lost one of its great citizens when Danny Barker died on March 13th this year. A musician for more than 70 of his 85 years, Danny Barker took pride in his cultural and ethnic heritage and made eloquent contributions to each with great dignity and quick good humor. Danny Barker left us with a rich and instructive legacy. Through his many achievements in music, his efforts as an educator, and his great stories. For the next 3 days, Inside the Arts honors the memory of Danny Barker with a look back at his life as he reflected on it in a series of conversations in 1993.
Father's people were Baptists, my mother's people were Catholics, so I was between two religions, and I learned the procedures and the practice of both religions. And My father's people were from New Iberia and Crowley and Ungenerate and all that business. And they cooked country food. So I learned about country food. When I go downtown to my mother's people, my grandparents, they served and ate the finest of Creole food. So I was between, you know, the two cultures.
That cultural balancing act fit Danny Barker just fine, thank you, because Danny Barker is a man possessed of the talent, wit, and perception to assimilate the best of those disparate worlds into a personal art as distinctive and fascinating as that of any performer on this century's stages, the kind of artist who could only, I think, come from New Orleans.
This was a good time, Tom, and we were under Spanish and then French culture. And those people love to have siestas. It's not a high school thing like English or Irish, you know. It's French, it's Latin, and they want to celebrate All Saints' Days, you know, and holidays. At least anything happen, they celebrate. They want to celebrate it. Let's have a party. They celebrate the dog's holiday. The dog's birthday, let's give Fido anything to have a party. Let's give the cat. Me new here, let's have a him some cat food, piece of fish, celebrate birthday. That's what this town's all about.
The New Orleans pace is such that not only are the living celebrated, but so too are the dead, often with jazz funerals. Young Danny Barker was quick to pick the brains of the great brass band musicians who regularly paraded through his 7th Ward neighborhood.
The musicians clustered together, so you went over where the musicians were. And you ask questions, and you told me, I think you're the greatest. And they acknowledge that, thank you, kid, and, you know, that's great. I think you're wonderful. And they love to be honored by words more than money or anything, is to be have this allocations, as if that's the right word, put on you. Okay, you're something special. So I went through all that with my other uncle. See, now, I had four uncles, Paul Barberin, Louis Barberin, Lucien Barberin, Willie Barberin, and me. See, I'm with them all the time, so I was another Barberin. And there they are. They say there's a, every day somebody died in New Orleans, and every day there was a jazz funeral most times. Because the benevolent societies, we didn't have big insurance companies like the National or the Prudential or et cetera. You had these benevolent societies. They buried their members of music, most of them. And they said, well, so-and-so, they're going to take James Brown today. When are they going to take him out? I said, it's the time to use. They're going to take him out Wednesday. Where at? Well, they're going to meet at Labatt's funeral for Paula, or Logie Mayer's for funeral for Paula, or Geddes and Moss, or Geddes and Moss and Willis. And as of today, the undertakers are familiar with this procedure of burying their members, male members, mostly with music. Then you went there, and you heard what time they're going to leave, and you went there and followed the procession. And that was done damn near every day. People don't realize it, but we counted there must have been 150 more benevolent societies. None of them went through, not all of them went through that practice. But that's who Barrington looked out for you. There might be 500 or 600 people following this funeral on a weekday. And you pass, you're playing a dirge, and you cross one of those thoroughfares, Claiborne and Seminole, and you're holding up traffic. You say, who's dead? I say, it must be a big man. I say, no, it's a shoeshine Willie on a shoeshine stand. He died. And all these people out there, well, yeah, they sent him his last public appearance.
With the Barberin family heritage in music and his almost daily exposure to some of the great players of early jazz, it's not surprising that when a neighborhood kid named Herman Henderson turned up with a ukulele, Danny Barker was soon teaching himself the fundamentals of that instrument.
I was playing a ukulele, and I had a spasm band, they call them, little makeshift bands all over New Orleans, these little makeshift groups. And we played in the barrooms, and we played in the yards. If you're going to have a party, you can't afford a band, you get the spasm band.